Today we're going to discuss the role that finances play in the mitzvah of pru urvu. This is one of the more common questions that I get. At what point do you say, well, it's very expensive to have children. Yeshiva tuition is expensive. Feeding them is expensive. Everything's expensive about it. So is a person allowed to say, you know what, I don't have to spend that much money on a mitzvah. So first of all, it's very important to realize, and this is hashkafa that we always talk about, that the primary purpose of marriage is pru urvu, that a person should want to have a family to pass on the Masorah. The very first halacha in all of Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezer, Simin Aleph Sif Aleph, reads, Chayav Kal Adam Lisa Isha Kidei Lifros Vilirbos. Everyone is chayav to get married, man is chayav to marry a woman in order that they should do pru urvu. And someone who does not fulfill the mitzvah of pru urvu, does not attempt to do the mitzvah of pru urvu, it's as if he is spilling blood, as if he is committing murder. He's limiting the tzelem elokim, and he's causing the shechina to abandon Klal Yisrael. So clearly it's a very important mitzvah. The question we have is, at what point can you say, I know it's an important mitzvah, I just can't afford to do it anymore? So in order to answer that question, it's important to understand what the gedder of the mitzvah is in the beginning, in order to be able to figure out what we're talking about in terms of having your first children, having further children. So there is a machlokas tanaim, what it takes to be mekayim the mitzvah of pru urvu. The shita of the Beis Shammai is in Maseches Yevamos that it takes two boys, that we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu had two boys, and then he was parish meishto. So you see that you only need to have two boys in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of pru urvu. However, the shita of the Beis Hillel, which we pass on like in Eben Ezer, Siman Alef Sif Hei, is that we learn not from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is an exception to the rule. We learn from Briyaso Shel Olam. When God wanted to populate the world, God put here one man and one woman, and therefore we learn that having one man, one boy, one girl, is a way to repopulate society. It's a way of continuing the population of the society. So we paskin one boy and one girl. Now the Gemara in Yevamos adds, not only do you have a mitzvah of pru urvu to have one boy, one girl, but b'boker zoras arecho l'erev al tanach yadecha, even later on in life, a person is supposed to continue to try to have children. The Melchamos, the Ramban in the Melchamos, understands that additional kiyum of having more children is a midas chasidus. That is not a requirement, that's a midas chasidus. Pischei Tshuva in Siman Aleph, Sivkat Aleph, says, because it's only a midas chasidus, it doesn't have to be that a person is boel b'chol ona, that every time he has an opportunity that he tries to impregnate his wife in order to fulfill this mitzvah, because you don't need to be that intense about this mitzvah once one is already mekayim the mitzvah of pru urvu. Rather, what this mitzvah means, l'erev al tanach yadecha, means that a person shouldn't say, I'm done. Person is 32 years old and he already has his boy and his girl, he shouldn't say, I'm done, no more, we're not having any more children. That's what l'erev al tanach yadecha. Al tanach yadecha means don't give up. Doesn't have to be that right now it's gonna, that you're gonna have another child right now, but don't give up, that at some later point there should be more children. Rav Shechter pointed out that he thought that this midas chasidus of l'erev al tanach yadecha is probably patterned after the din d'arais of pru urvu. And if the din d'arais of pru urvu is one boy, one girl, probably l'erev al tanach yadecha is one additional boy and one additional girl. And then after that, you've already fulfilled even this midas chasidus. So if someone has two boys, two girls, they've already fulfilled the midas chasidus and don't require anything further mitzad this midas chasidus. And the l'chora, we learn this din by Talmidim as well, from Rabbi Akiva. The idea that you still want to continue to have more even after you've already had the Aldusa in your younger years, that we have, the same is true by Talmidim when it comes to developing Talmidim, that even if a person had Talmidim in his younger years, you never know what's going to happen with those Talmidim. So you should continue to develop Talmidim in the older years as well. The third level of the idea of Peruvu, again, the first level is Mitzvah Daraisa, one boy, one girl. Second level is La'erev al tanach yadecha, which might mean one additional boy, one additional girl, but it seems to be midas chasidus. The third level is the Gemara in Ksuva says, "Ein ben David ba ad sheyichla kol haneshamos shebaguf." That Mashiach only comes once all of the neshamos are emptied out of this box in Shemayim, this place in Shemayim called the Guf, and only then does Mashiach come. So every Jewish child that one brings into this world brings us closer to Mashiach. So that's a kiyum on a global level that we're helping to bring Mashiach by having more children. Now, is the mitzvah peruvu just to have the children, or is it to raise the children as well? So Rashi Nivama says that the reason for la'erev al tanich yedecha is that the earlier children might die, and you might not have them anymore, or, says Rashi, they may go l'derech ra'a. They may go off the derech, implying that there's a chisarun in puruvu if the children don't behave properly. So that indicates that the mitzvah of puruvu is not just to have the children, but it's to raise them and to teach them and to mold them and to provide for them, that all of that is part of the mitzvah, to give attention, to give time. All of that is part of the mitzvah of puruvu. Now that's going to be very critical when we discuss how many children is too many if you can't afford to support them, and you can't afford, you don't have enough time to spend time with all of them, etc. Rav Shlomo Kluger understands that not only that, there's also a partial mitzvah of puruvu. If one is megadol yasam v'yisomu b'soch beso, if someone adopts a child, let's say a couple is not able to have children, by adopting a child, they're also partially fulfilling the mitzvah of puruvu. Why? Where's the partial fulfillment of the mitzvah? They didn't bring any life into this world. No, because the mitzvah of puruvu has two parts. It's bringing a life into this world, and then it's providing for that life and sustaining that life and trying to educate and mold that life. So that's why it's a partial mitzvah of puruvu when one is megadol yasam v'yisom b'soch beso. So when should financial considerations matter? Before fulfilling puruvu, it seems that most poskim assume that if a couple has not yet fulfilled puruvu, we don't take financial considerations into account so much. Meaning, if you can't afford to have a child, you probably shouldn't. You can't afford to be married either. I mean, where's the money coming to pay for rent and to pay for? Usually, it's where the question comes up with a couple that's being supported. They're still in school. This someone's supporting them. So generally speaking, most of the poskim are not particularly sensitive to the financial considerations before one is mekayim puruvu. Now, l'chora, that's difficult because we have a rule by mitzvos. How much money does one have to spend for mitzvos? Hamavazves al yavazves yosem mechamish. In general, when it comes to doing mitzvos, you don't have to spend more than 20% of your money for any given mitzvah. Let's say you're poor, you're in school, you don't have any money, and all your money is just your parents supporting you. So how shouldn't we say hamavazves al yavazves yosem mechamish? So the Avnei Nezer writes in the Tshuvah Nezer Simen Aleph that it depends. Avnei Nezer writes that if, let's say, a couple doesn't have children after 10 years, and the halacha is in Shulchan Aruch, even though we don't enforce this anymore, the halacha in Shulchan Aruch is based on the Gemara that after 10 years of not having children, they have to get divorced because he can't ignore his mitzvah. Avnei Nezer says, and what if getting divorced is going to cost him all of his money? It's going to cost him way more than Chomesh Nechasav. He says, too bad, you still got to do it anyway, because he will never fulfill the mitzvah if he doesn't find a wife who he can have children with. So he has to give up all of his money for a mitzvah that he's never going to be able to fulfill otherwise. Pischei tshuva, Nevenezer Simen Kuf Mendal Tzivkot Nechav Zayin, does apply Hamavazes to Puruvu. Pischei tshuva quotes from Tshuva's Big Day Kuhuna that discusses also a case of a couple that was married for many years, childless, and the guy was sick and his wife took such good care of him, and they weren't even sure if it was him who couldn't have children or she who couldn't have children. And the Pischei tshuva says, you don't have to give up, you don't even have to give up more than 20% of your money for a mitzvah, so you certainly don't have to give up your marriage and your well-being and your emotional well-being for the mitzvah. So the Pischei tshuva seems to understand that a mevazves does apply to the mitzvah of puruvu. But why would it be then that some poskim do not apply hamavazis to the mitzvah of puruvu? Meaning, l'chora, if you were to apply hamavazis to the mitzvah of puruvu, very few people would really have more than, you know, one or two kids, because most of your budget, you know, ends up going toward, and certainly with yeshiva tuitions being what they are in our area, most of your and you know, not just in our area, throughout this country, most of Lafuke Eretz Yisrael, where so much of it is subsidized by the government, most of our budget ends up going to paying tuition and to paying for food and everything else. In fact, most yeshivas work with, when they decide on tuition assistance, they work with the assumption that a minimum of 20% of your money has to go toward tuition. And if 20% of your income is not going toward tuition, then they're not going to give you tuition assistance. It's past 20%. That's where generally that's the geder that they like to use for tuition assistance. So why wouldn't we say I'm a vazvez? So there are a couple of possibilities. First of all, maybe we don't say this by a mitzvah that's constant. We don't say that you don't have to spend a lot of money on a mitzvah when it's a mitzvah that's not going to be just a one-time thing. So I won't have a lulav this year. So I'm a vazvez, I'll be vazvez yosem michamesh. I'll get one next year. But what if it's a mitzvah that's ongoing? So the mitzvah of Puravu is for the rest of your life. You're never going to do the mitzvah. Then we're not going to say I'm a vazvez on a mitzvah where there's a constant kiyum, where there's something that's always, every moment that the child is there is a new kiyum. It's similar to what the Minchas Chinuch writes in Mitzvah Tav Chav Gimel, that we wouldn't say I'm a vazvez for the mitzvah of mezuzah. Because mezuzah is not just you do the mitzvah, it's every minute that it's on your house, you're getting a mitzvah. So the cumulative effect of mitzvah after mitzvah after mitzvah every second is overwhelming, and that would overpower the hamavazvez. That's why the Gemara says in the end of the third paragraph of Pesachim that a guy should be mocher kol mashi yeshlo lisa bas talmud chacham. He should sell everything he has in order to marry the daughter of a talmud chacham. Why should he sell everything he has? Because that's life changing. It's constant. It's about the whole rest of your entire life. That's why some explain Hillel was able to. The Gemara says in Maseches Yuma that Hillel would earn a certain amount of money each day, and half of it he would use to enter the Beis Medrash. That's the story. We ended up on the window and the snow covered him because he couldn't afford that day to get into the Beis Medrash. Half his money, why was he spending more than 20% of his money for the mitzvah? Because Talmud Torah is a constant mitzvah. It's a life-changing mitzvah. Anything that's life-altering. To that extent, maybe we don't apply Amavazis. Furthermore, Puravu is referred to as a mitzvah rabbah, and maybe that elevates it to the status of something that would require spending more than 20% of your money. And it could also be that anytime it's understood that the nature of the mitzvah is such that it's always going to cost Yosar Michomesh, so then maybe the halacha wouldn't apply if I'm Vazvez Ali Vazvez. Similar to the idea that we know by Mitzvah Benon L'Chavero, typically there's no requirement to spend any money on a Mitzvah Benon L'Chavero. Oh yeah, what about tzedakah? Why do we spend money on tzedakah? Oh, we spend money on tzedakah because that's the nature of the mitzvah, even though it's been on the chavero. When the nature of the mitzvah is such that it involves spending money, maybe then all bets are off. And also, maybe the concern, Shema Ye'ani, what's the reason you're not allowed to spend more than 20% of your money on a mitzvah? We're afraid you're going to become poor. Well, what's better, to become poor or to be ki'ilu shofeich damim? That's Lashon L'Shulchan Aruch, if you don't have children, ki'ilu shofeich damim. Maybe the risk-reward is not worth it. The benefit of not becoming poor is outweighed by the benefit of having children. So it would seem that before one has children, one should spend more than 20% of his money on having children, that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Puravu, the question is not really whether one should spend a lot of money to do the mitzvah of Puravu. And you know what? And if you need financial assistance, tuition assistance, that's what the community's responsibility is, to take care of people who need tuition assistance and who need help in paying for Jewish education. It's not just the parents' responsibility, it's the entire community's responsibility. Moram Babas says that Moshiv Mlandi Tinokos B'chol Ir V'ir B'chol Pelech U'Pelech, it's a din on the tzibur. It's not just a din on the parents. So if they can't afford, they'll ultimately the community should take care of those kids, and the community does. Typically, that's what happens, at least around here. That's certainly what happens. Once one has already fulfilled Puravu, then it becomes an interesting question. How much do you say you should have bitachon, a Kodesh Baruch Hu will provide? And when you say, nah, I already did the mitzvah, I don't want to, you know, be financially unstable and bring more children to this world. So my own Rebbeim disagree about this issue. I've heard Rabbi Willick say that finances should never be a consideration. You should have as many children as you can handle and you can take care of reasonably, and meaning you being your wife and you together can take care of, can handle reasonably, and you need to have bitach and everything will work out. Rabbi Schechter does not agree. He thinks that it should be a very major consideration. He says, you know the joke that people say that the greatest form of birth control is yeshiva tuition? He said it makes sense that that should be the greatest form of birth control, that people can't afford it, then they shouldn't be having. He says sometimes Aniyim will come to his house And they'll say, oh, yeah, I have to make 13 chasanas because my 13 children have been learning kailal for the last 30 years and I don't have any money. Who told you to learn kailal and have 13 children? If you have to be able to support if you can have 13 children. You shouldn't continue to have so many children if you're not able to support them. However, it should be pointed out that there's a difference between not being able to support them and wanting to make sure that they have a trust fund, you know, and making sure that they're taken care of for life, or, you know, there's reasonable, or making sure that they have the highest standard of living, that they should be able to buy, you should be able to buy for them the fanciest clothing, and that you should drive them in the carpool in your brand new Porsche SUV, you know, so that their kids will think they're cool, you know, things like that. Those are luxuries. That's not something that it would seem should really be taken into the cheshbon, that you're not going to be able to live the way you would really like to live. Kids don't need the most expensive clothing, the most expensive camps, a trust fund, and everything else. They need food, and they need education, they need love, they need time. That's what children need. So it's a very sensitive topic, and it's certainly not a topic that really a 10-minute or a 15-minute halacha shiur is really going to be able to cover for every person. But these are just some of the issues that should be considered.